Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I am Tiggy. We are live here in Las Vegas at the SiriusXM studio in the Wynn, and I am here with Tabby. Tabby, hello.
Hello, and hello, everybody. So excited to be here. So I've been a part of the team throughout this year, but I actually met Tiggy for the first time last year at the Austin Grand Prix. So we've come a long way. Very excited to be here live in person with everybody.
Yeah, this is actually a very sweet story. Tabby was a listener of our podcast, came to the Austin Grand Prix to our listener meetup, and sent us one of the most amazing emails we have ever received to help us out with some content and things. And she's been an incredible part of the team since. So today we are here because we're doing a mailbag episode. You all had submitted some questions to us, so we're going to be going through them. And in Vegas style, of course, we had to write them down on some playing cards. so we'll be drawing them at random and going through them. So let's kick it off. Tabby, okay. Pick a card. Maybe I'll pick one for
you. I know, that's what I was thinking.
All right.
True Vegas style.
If you could add any rookie to the 2025 roster, who would it be? And this is from Ellie Belly. All right, I can start.
You should start.
We might have the same answer on this one, but for me, I'm going to have to go with Franco Colapinto because he's not currently signed yet as of this recording, and there aren't very many seats left. There might be one seat left, so we'll see if he's able to snag that or not. But I think he is definitely one of the most deserving. And it's been amazing being in here in Vegas and seeing the incredible amount of fans and Argentinian fans. He's the first Argentinian driver in 23 years. And so it's been absolutely incredible to see how well he's done and really held his own against a teammate, Alex Albon, who is very tenured and quite definitely good. So Franco, I hope you get a seat.
Yes, yesterday, even like at the track, we were just hanging out, and then you see like fans with flags and screaming for Franco. So definitely first pick, I would choose Franco also. I can't even imagine how hard it is to like already be driving and then not know if you get to do it again next year. But hopefully if he doesn't get a seat immediately, he can do his time. Maybe like Liam come in later next season. But there's so many rookies.
I know.
Next year,
a quarter plus of the grid is going to be
crazy.
A rookie, which is such a shift from this year. So it's going to be very fun. But yeah, at the James Vallis talk at the Grand Prix yesterday, he was just talking about Franco. He was the amount of love we see for this man is insane. So it's great.
It's so awesome.
All right. Next question.
All right. I'll pick one. Or you want to pick Nick?
I'll pick one and you can read it.
Okay. This question is from Scoot Tafosi.
Yes.
This is for Tiggy. Will you be wearing red next year?
Oh my God. Scoot Tafosi, one of our favorite fans of all time. We love Scoot Tafosi. Okay. Yes, I will be wearing red. As people know, I am a diehard Lewis Hamilton fan. I will follow that man till the ends of the earth. I will follow him to Ferrari. I will be wearing red. That said, I love Mercedes as a team, and I don't think that fandom is going anywhere. So I think I can love both, even if there's a little bit of a divorce happening.
Maybe you can wear both too.
Yeah. I look good.
Nobody
in red,
hate
which
you.
Is the problem.
Maybe like some darker reds are nice.
Yeah, maroon, that's not really
got red nails. Red. You can do red nails.
Yeah. All right, next question. But I do very much appreciate that one. Okay, from Sarla Grossis. What are you most excited for next season? Oh my gosh.
Oh.
I'll start by saying I am very excited to see Hamilton at Ferrari and to see, I just feel like it's two of the most iconic things in motorsport coming together. So I'm very excited to see what that's like. I think there might be a question about Hamilton and Charles and how that will fare. I don't know if we'll get to that one, but
we'll see.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm also kind of anxious about that. I'm really excited also to see the rookies. I think, as we were saying, having so many fresh new faces on the grid is such an exciting thing. And it's always fun to see who's going to come out really strong and beat the incumbent teammate.
Yes.
And I'm really excited for those battles. And then third, and probably most important, how tight it's anticipated to be.
Yes.
Especially in constructors. I mean, we're seeing how the season's ending with McLaren, Red Bull, Ferrari. Mercedes is a little bit lonely in fourth right now, but we'll see what happens at the start of next season. And I think it could be anyone's for the taking. So
I'm with you. I think next season will be probably so different from the last few years. So I'm very excited to see if we'll have a new normal, if anybody will emerge as really dominant, or if it'll be just as crazy with announcements, driver shakeup, or even teams, just how they're doing. I'm so curious, and it's very exciting, but it's kind of crazy not knowing. Right. I can't even imagine, like, from people we were speaking to, like, this weekend, I feel like they're not even thinking much about next year. They're just trying to get through the last three races. But
yeah,
imagine being in their shoes and not knowing what next year will bring is crazy.
Totally. And also with a huge regulation shakeup in 2026, yes. I do feel like the last year of one set of regulations leading into the next is always, it's a little weird, because definitely, I think there is going to be a massive shakeup and we don't know what team's going to come out on top. So I anticipate some driver movement, and it's going to be interesting mm-hmm. to see how that goes. But all that to say, we've had one of the most exciting seasons ever this year, and I totally. Hope next year is just as good.
Me too. And maybe with 2026, we'll have a few years of, like, really, really awesome.
Oh my gosh, don't get us too excited.
I'm too excited.
All right, next question. Okay. Let's do it.
All righty. This one is also from Scoot to Fosse. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Rad, our absolute favorite.
All right. So what can we do as fans to help you all grow the podcast?
Oh my gosh. First of all, let me just say how much I appreciate that question. That is so nice. I think what you all do right now is incredible. It's really just about engaging with the community, with the content we put out. I know we've had a little bit of a transition in branding. We used to be known as For the Girls, and we've evolved a little bit this season. So I think just making sure that you know that we're still true to the content we put out and engaging with us in our new identity as we go forward is really important. So it's all the things I think everybody knows about social media and about being at the whim of the algorithm and Spotify and all that. The more you engage, the more you share, the more you spread the love, the better it is for us, and the more that we get to do some of these fun things at race weekends. But just want to say thank you all so much for everything you've done so far to get us to this point, because we would not be here without you. And it's been an absolute incredible ride. So
amazing. And as a listener, I can say it's definitely about the little things. Like, people will ask me, like, hey, what are you working on? Or, oh, I know you're into Formula One. Do you have recommendations? Or just talking about it, I think, makes a big difference and goes a long way. So we appreciate everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to be here.
You're incredible. Tabby, what's it been like being behind the scenes for this weekend so far?
Incredible.
Is it what you expected, or what's surprised you?
What surprised me the most, I think, is how real everything feels. Getting to be behind the scenes after just seeing a lot on screen for so long, like with the podcast or just with Formula One in general, has been really amazing. Like, when we were talking to Carmen, it just feels so real. Like, everybody's just doing their thing, trying to get by, just people like all of us. And I think it really grounds, like, Formula One for me and kind of makes it even more amazing, because it's just average people doing amazing things.
Totally.
Maybe an average is the wrong word, but just everyday people, just like you and me, like, doing incredible things in many, many different ways.
Yeah. Everybody's human. I think that's what people have to realize, is that everybody's just doing their best. People make mistakes. Everybody's human, even if they're, like, massive on screen.
I know.
You know, like,
they're just like us at the end of the day.
Just like us.
Crazy. Stars. I mean, come on. Maybe not just like us. I wish.
Actually, not at all, but it's fun to be around. All right. Oh, this is funny. From Hey Nolan, other than Alonso, which of the current crop of drivers will be driving in 10 years?
Ooh.
You go first for this one. Do you have thoughts?
Hopefully, at least one of the rookies, since they're so young.
Okay, I think we have to take the rookies off the table.
Yes, but definitely off the table. Realistically, the drivers at the top have a better chance, I think, because the teams are doing better. So there's, I think, less movement. As much as I love Lewis, I don't think he or Max will be here in 10 years. So that could be kind of exciting, but also could be a huge shift for the sport. But I don't know. If I had to pick one person, I would say Oscar.
I was actually thinking of him as well. I feel like he could be the next great.
Right.
And with someone
long
with a lot of world dominance. Championship potential. Uh-huh. And I hope Oscar is the one that sticks around.
Me too. He's incredible.
He's already, his maturity is already the age of like a 45-year-old. So. Yeah.
Sometimes I think about like how young he is and it's just crazy.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, we agree on that one.
Crazy. I didn't expect that. It kind of just came to me in the middle of speaking.
All right.
Okay. Also from Hey Nolan.
Thank you, Nolan.
Can we imagine what a New York GP could be like?
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Could you imagine?
No.
So they did race. They had the Formula E race, and right. that was Red Hook area. I would love to see them race down Fifth Ave, kind of like a strip-esque version, so but New York City, I think, would be incredible. Can I imagine it? Yes. Do I think it's realistic? Unfortunately not.
Yeah. I think it would be very interesting because we were talking a little bit yesterday about how all the three U.S. tracks right now bring something very different to the table. And so I think it would be interesting to see like what New York could bring that's different.
American, so much.
I know. But realistically, I think we have a lot of U.S. races and yeah. it's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. All right. How do you get access to team paddocks and interviews on race weekends? And this is from Meg Menz. This is a great question. And I think it's different every time. We didn't start by getting access to paddocks and teams and any of that. I think we have built up to that. And what you realize when you are kind of in this world, at least to a certain degree, it's a very small world. And so I think it's really important to start building relationships and treat everyone in this space with an incredible amount of respect. And I think that goes a long way. And being really interested in what people do, even if it's not the drivers, I think there's so much media attention that surrounds drivers, which is great. They're incredible people, but there are so many, there are thousands of people behind the scenes who are doing amazing things and making this all happen. And I think being like honoring that is a really important thing. And mm-hmm. I know this sounds like a wishy-washy kind of abstract answer, but I think that goes a long way in terms of building relationships. And then opportunities come. I don't think they just come to you. You do have to look for them. So we Definitely. Do a lot of research. We do a lot of outreach. We get a lot of no's, but for every 50 no's, you know, there might
you
be
one
yes in there. So for anyone who is kind of in this position mm-hmm. or thinking about getting into it, like just have a thick skin, keep reaching out. And once you start doing it, the opportunities can kind of compound on each other in a way that's really fun. And yeah, it's been a blast, but it's not easy. And as Tabby, I think, has seen this weekend, the number of things that pop up last minute, like you have to be really flexible. And I think that's the fun part about Formula One, but there's a lot of like hurry up and wait, which can be, you know, hard at times, but I think just staying with it, being patient is really important.
Incredible advice. Love.
All right.
Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. To combat this, we've been loving Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth, which contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens that help the body adapt to any stressors. With over 30,000 reviews and counting, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
Okay. Next question from, I think, Lemmy Jin, if I'm reading that right. It is, what do you think it will take to make F1 Academy popular in the mainstream?
Oh,
big question.
Such a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to start?
Sure. I think number one that comes to my mind is time. These things take time. And I think Susie has said this a lot whenever she speaks, is that some people say they hope F1 Academy won't be needed in 10 years, but I think it's going to take a lot of time to make it popular and mainstream, to make women like grow in the space. For those of you who don't know, I was an engineer in school and I had a pretty great experience, I think. Like, I never experienced anything crazy, like discrimination or any, I don't have any wild horror stories of being a female in engineering, but even with that, I was one of so few, and you don't realize it till you take a step back. And I think it's going to take so much time because it's a much broader picture of like women in certain spaces, and you can't, it's just like such a cultural thing. So I'm really happy that F1 Academy is like putting in the work and making consistent efforts, because I think the consistency of time is totally key.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it takes a lot of time, but it also takes a lot of patience. We shouldn't have the expectation that it's going to have this, you know, the same fan base or whatever immediately. It took Formula One a really long time to develop that, especially in the United States. I mean, without Drive to Survive, I don't know necessarily where fandom would be in the US, but it would not look the same as it does right now. So I think being patient with that, and but that said, there still needs to be a lot done and a lot of work done and a lot of investment that Formula One and other powerful people in the space should be really paying attention to and investing time in and energy into making sure that F1 Academy can be set up for as much success as possible. And that's getting these women as many opportunities as possible in incredibly fast cars, and that includes sponsorship, that includes money, that includes time investment. I think it was a big step this year that Formula One signed drivers. Each team signed a driver.
That was awesome.
And so making sure that they're taking that seriously and developing these women within their ecosystems, within their driver academies, treating them as equals, I think that goes a long way. There is also the Hello Sunshine documentary that's
I was just thinking that.
Supposed to be coming out next year. So we're very excited for that. And I hope that, there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on that and bring some of these women to life. So yeah, I think exactly to your point, it takes time, it takes consistency, but it does take a lot of work and a lot of effort. And so I hope that that continues.
Can't wait to see.
All right.
Oh, whoops. Three cards left.
Is anyone else worried Carlos will be the next Bottas situation after going to Williams? This is also from Meg Menz. I'm cautiously optimistic.
That's the theme of the weekend. Yeah. Cautiously optimistic.
It's hard. I think Williams, I really would love, I want to believe that they are going to be delivering a faster car. They've had a crazy amount of bad luck this year, and they have made some really good strides. And I do think they have a strong driver pairing next year, one of the strongest. But it's really hard as a driver at that stage of the career or the stage that Carlos is at, to go to a team that might not be able to deliver you a car that can score points. And I think that's really risky because Carlos is an incredible driver. Yes. I'm shocked that Red Bull or Mercedes did not pick him up.
The timing as well seemed like it was perfect for him to maybe move to one of those teams, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but yes, I am worried that it could become.
I am worried as well.
And I'm very curious, Bottas, what is next? Because I don't want like a sad end to his career where it's a pointsless season, because he is an amazing driver as well and I think deserves more. So
for sure.
We'll see. All right. A couple more left.
Two left. One left now.
How would someone get into podcasting and social media content creation? This is from Sonia Rooney. Also a great question. I think the first thing is you just got to do it. I think there are so many things in this life that we're like, we have to have the perfect plan, or we have to make sure that like what we put out there is going to be successful or it's super well thought through. I think with some of these things, you just have to start and you're going to make mistakes and it's going to evolve, but you just have to sort of rip the Band-Aid off and do it. That said, there are things you can be very thoughtful about when doing when doing that. I think one of my biggest pieces of advice is to pick something, a broader topic, and like the format, the, you know, whatever, if you're on TikTok, Instagram, podcast, whatever medium that is best for you, pick something that you are so passionate about that you can imagine yourself spending hours and hours and hours a day. It doesn't feel forced. You don't get bored. It's just something that you love. And I think a lot of people make the mistake of just feeling like podcasting or social media could be cool and then trying to retrofit that or do something that like other people are doing and they think they should be doing that. But I think really paying attention to what is most exciting to you and what works for you is probably the biggest pieces of advice that I would have. And do your research, figure out what else, what's out there, what's not out there, what's missing, what you would want to consume. And I think starting from that perspective is helpful.
Tiggy, I'm going to submit my own question right now, live. What is probably the biggest thing you've learned from podcasting, whether that's podcasting in general or in the Formula One world?
Podcasting in general, I've learned a lot about how I speak. which sounds so silly, but when you hear yourself back so much, because I do a lot of the editing, so right. I'm, you know, hearing myself speak live and then I'm listening back to it. And so that's such a silly thing and it's such a small thing, but I think a lot of people don't listen to themselves a lot. Right. And so I think you learn a lot from doing that.
I'm going to tell you, I actively avoid it. So this weekend will be interesting.
But I have to say about Formula One more generally, I have learned more than I have in my entire life about anything. I think people hear me wax poetic about this all the time, but I think it is the most incredible sport of all time and combines so many of my interests. You know, I grew up abroad a lot, so there's the global nature. I was also an engineer and have been in business, so the business aspect of it. I love sports, the athleticness of it, the all fashion, the sponsorship, the business, the engineering, the sustainability. Like, there are just so many angles of endless excitement, and I feel like the podcasting and the social media side of things just has allowed me and Sarah and Chessa to dive into so many things that we wouldn't have otherwise. So I've learned a ton. It's been a world-class
incredible
education. And I'm in school right now, so.
She's still learning.
Still learning. All right, last question.
Last question. I'll let you read it.
Okay. Favorite F1 driver friendship. This is such a fun one to end on. Add who are 271. I'll let you go first.
I don't know if you saw my answer earlier. My answer is RC squared, Charles and Carlos right now. That's why I'm so sad next year. But I have been loving all the press and promo that they're doing right now. They're doing stuff with like the Gladiator premiere. And I just think it's so fun. And every time you see them together, they genuinely seem like friends. They're laughing, making jokes with each other in interviews. And I love the dynamic. So I hope we still get to see them a lot next year.
Yeah.
Just because things will be so different. But I've been loving seeing them be besties.
I love that too.
And more.
Maybe their friendship will blossom even more. Not as
I know.
One can hope. One can dream. I think I have to go with Yuki and really sub either Pierre or Daniel into that. But I think Yuki and anyone that he is kind of besties with, I think I'll go with Pierre and Yuki. But seeing their friendship was so genuine. And it's two people who are very different, have very different personalities, come from very different places.
Totally.
And I think there was a lot of beauty in that friendship and it seemed very genuine. And I thought that was really amazing. I mean, I'm talking about it like their friendship doesn't exist anymore, but their teammateship doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, I think they're pretty high up for me. One of the most entertaining ones that I'm very excited to see develop is Max and Lando, because
yes,
who knows where that's going.
I'm also very curious, is the Liam Yuki pairing. I think it's kind of hilarious for now, but could be very...
They are so competitive. We were listening to the CEO of eCarb yesterday, Peter Baer, talk about how competitive they are. Even at restaurants, Yuki will be like, I'm ordering a starter and a main. And then Liam will be like, well, I'm ordering a starter, a main, and a dessert. And then Yuki will be like, I'm ordering two starters, a main, and a dessert. And then by the end of it, they have like a plate of a table of 50 plates of food. But yeah, I'm excited to see that develop too. I don't know if I'm sensing friend vibes. I'm sensing more competitor vibes.
Yeah, we'll see. Probably competitor for now, but
yeah, maybe it will blossom. All right, with that, thank you all so much. This was such a blast to go through your questions. Thank you for submitting them. It is so fun to be here in Vegas, and we will talk to you soon.